Hello, everybody, and welcome back to In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast. My name is Robin.
And I'm Lauren Cortizo.
And today, we have with us, friend of the pod, coolest chick around, wine enthusiast, actress, our favorite person, Natalie Pelletier, joining us on one of our first episodes with a guest.
I'm honored. Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Welcome, Nat. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So we met Natalie when she was the SOM for our In Phase launch party event. I reached out to a friend named Remy, and I was like, I'm looking for a lady in wine to see if she can help us out with this event. We want to pair different wines to our cycle and have her kind of guide us on a wine journey through the night because it was a launch party dinner. And she said, I have the girl for you.
And boy did Natalie deliver.
Did
Let
she
me
ever.
Say, I mean, there was a brief and you understood it.
Yeah.
It was so fun. It was so fun that night. Like, someone would come up and say what phase they were in, and Natalie had different options for wine based off what they were going through. And
here you go. So thank you for, well, thank Remy, the connector.
Thanks, Remy.
Thanks, Remy. Also friend of the pod.
Yeah, she is. But that was a very fun night. And just, again, we love being women and, like, understanding ourselves more.
Oh, do we ever
preach?
Okay, wait. So I want to know. Wait, first, before we get started, you brought a bottle for us to drink tonight while we're recording, which is so fun for Lauren and I because we've been in it. We were having deep emotional conversations before you got here. And as we're, like, coming out of it on the other side, we're like, listen. Like, we have wine tonight, so this is going to be
the perfect episode.
Yeah, there's light at the end of this tunnel.
So I will say, obviously, when we do start talking through phases, we all are in different phases. However, I feel like there can sometimes be, like, unicorn wines that can, like, fit the bill, if you will.
Yeah.
So I can talk about that later, but what I will say is that this is a Cab Franc from the Loire Valley, and it is in this sort of, like, juicier style of a Cab Franc. So we're in the red, but again, it's like ASMR.
ASMR indeed.
So fun.
Listen to that, guys. It's the most calming sound you'll ever hear alongside with that pop of the cork from earlier. I have no notes.
I felt my heart rate just go down. About 7 BPMs.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. All right. You're sitting on the pod. So everyone be jealous about that. Okay. All right. Oh, me. Fucking likey.
Yeah. Lovely.
That's great.
Right.
Okay. So why did you pick this one for tonight?
So for tonight, I am technically in my follicular. So I'm, like, just off my period and I'm, like, zesty and just, I'm, like, feeling, like, alive. You menstrual?
No. No, I am ovulating.
You're ovulating.
Ooh. Yep.
So,
so watch out.
Watch out.
Watch out. Stay away from me, Harrison, after this one glass of wine, because I am living a child-free life right now. Okay.
And then
just started my period last night.
Okay. So with this, like, a Cab Franc, especially in this style, it kind of is this, like, zippier, lighter, juicier red. So I feel like with that, obviously, like, when you think of your when you're ovulating, it's, like, bubbly and, like, whatever. But I think that this is a red that's, like, bright enough to kind of have that mood, or, like, if you're in the mood, you know. But I also feel like it's a comforting enough red that, like, it's familiar. So, like, when you taste it, you're like, oh yeah, I can just lean back and, like, be in my period feels.
Yeah, I feel like I'm, like, being hugged. Like, with every sip, I feel like someone is like, you're okay.
Right. And, like,
And you are.
And, like, for me, I could also, like, chill this down a hair, and it would kind of, like, fill that, like, chilled kind of patio vibes that you're wanting when you're on your follicular.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's why it is sort of a unicorn wine in that world. And I think that there are definitely a few others, but, you know, we can talk through what other wines will work for the phases.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
I have to say, I'm so geeked out right now. These are, like, even as we're starting this, I'm like, oh my God, these are my two favorite things in the entire world, is to talk about menstrual phases, being a woman, and then wine.
Yeah.
Favorite,
checking all the
favorite
boxes.
Thing. So Natsu's like, okay, this is zesty for your follicular phase. I'm like, yes, yeah. Queen. Oh my God. Okay, wait. So
good.
On that note, how did you get into wine? Because it is like primarily a male-dominated field in a lot of ways. Like, it's tough to find female producers. It's tough to find female somms. Like, so how did you get into it?
So I will say that I think that the tides are starting to turn and shift, which is amazing. There's a lot more amazing female producers, a lot of women in the wine space, whether they are curating lists, selling wine, all the above. I got into it because I moved out to LA 13 years ago to pursue acting. And so what do? A lot of times you get a job at a restaurant. And the restaurant that I got a job at, Dominic's, which is RIP, but Little Dom's still exists. And it's like an offshoot.
Oh, Little Dom's is an offshoot of Dominic's?
Yeah. So Dom's was in West Hollywood. And the wine director was a woman. And her name was Susan Brink.
Okay.
And she was the one who very much was like, this is how you can go about and taste wine. Here are the stories about these producers. And she like really just opened my eyes that wine was not this like intense, scary, like white tablecloth,
stuffy
environment. And she really was, she was very approachable in her style of teaching us about wine. And so then I got hooked when she was like, okay, yeah, when you taste something, you can, maybe all you do is taste grapes, but maybe you taste strawberries. Maybe you are smelling like your grandma's perfume, like whatever. And it just kind of like opened my eyes, my taste buds, my senses in a way that I was like, okay, I love this other art form that's drinkable, that you can trace back. You know, families have history with their land, or it's like someone breaking off and doing their own new version of things. So it kind of related in a sense to my like love of art, but also in a different form that is approachable and fun to like drink and consume. And then you get to like, you know, have that same experience with your friends.
Yes.
Just like when you go see a movie afterwards, you can be like talking about it. Like when you have a bottle of wine, you don't have to all the time, but you can just be like, oh, what do you like about this?
Yep.
What don't you like about this?
What are you getting notes of?
Yeah.
Tropical fruit.
Share experience.
Yep. Yeah. And so
what's the finish, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So that really got me into wine. And then since then, I have been able to work in a number of different restaurants in LA that all have amazing women behind them. So I worked for Carolyn Stein at AOC, who runs, like, she does the Hollywood Bowl, the Music Center, the proper hotels, and
AOC
restaurants. And then Helen from
I was going to ask about Helen.
Oh, yes. Helen.
Yeah, of course.
I love her newsletter.
Yep.
Shout out Helen.
Helen's amazing. Both of those women I consider friends and like I'm still working with in a different sense now that I'm actually the thing that I do with wine now. After I had been somming, I sell wine. So I work on that side where I am essentially like a wine agent.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like
so chic.
So cool. And also, like, here's what gets me excited about this conversation. I'm like, I right now I work in like Hollywood film marketing. I'm like, there's a life for me after that. And I feel like it's in that.
Yeah,
I feel like,
it's
it's becoming a wine agent.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a period podcaster meets a wine agent.
Yeah.
Now that's what I want to be when I grow up.
Right.
So
perfect.
100%.
Perfect. So that is sort of that's my like quick abridged version, but you know.
Did you do training to WSET or what did you do for formal training, or did you not do any? And it was really all like on the fly and on the ground.
So when I first was working in AOC, I felt like I needed to like up my wine knowledge. And so that's when I just started getting some books offline. And one of them was like Wine Folly. Another was the Karen, it's the Wine Bible. And Karen, her last name starts with an M. I forget it at this point. But again, she was a woman who wrote this like beautiful, insane, it's like this thick kind of like guide to wine. So I got that and I started making like wine videos on Instagram before like videos were cool to do. You can scroll way back on my
early feed.
Early on my feed, you'll see those. And so I just started like geeking out about it and just doing my own kind of self-studying. And then I was like, okay, I do want to take the first level of, there's two different schools. There's the WSET and then the CMS. So CMS is the Court of Master Sommeliers. And that one is a bit more of like the training for those who really want to be on the floor. And it's like a bit more service oriented. Mm. And at that point I was like, oh, well, this is, you know, that's like, that sounds great. And so I ended up taking and passing my level one in that. And then I was thinking about taking my second level, and then like COVID happened.
Yeah.
So then I kind of questioned, I was like, oh, I don't know if I actually like want there. And there was a little bit of scandal with that court. And so then I kind of just took a step back. And I think one of the beautiful things about wine, similar to like learning a language or like being a personal trainer, you never really like ask your trainer, like, where'd you learn how to train? You
sure.
know,
like, yeah, yeah.
where,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
If they know how to train your body, or like,
yes.
get the body that you want, then
yeah.
you're like, yeah, sign me up.
Totally.
And similar to like, I don't know, whoever is teaching you about language. And so I feel like with wine, yes, certifications are amazing, but like, you really learn by drinking.
Yes.
And like by being in the language. And so I then, after my first level, I just have been working in restaurants, and I get to taste wine all the time and just like get to learn how to speak it in the way that I want to, and not necessarily like the like approved way. But I will say, like, I do think it is important to, just like any artist, kind of like learn your fundamentals and at least get your like level one, two, whatever. And then you can kind of like paint outside the lines.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it feels like a beautiful artist approach. Like, and I mean that like as a compliment, in the sense of like, you are an artist. And so for you to then take this way of doing a job and making it your own for what works for you, I think is really cool.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
So but
it also feels to be like almost like bucking the convention of the wine industry as a whole too, or like the history of it, which is like it originated being like very highbrow, high level. You must take this course. You must. And it was like, again, like mostly men and stuff for like hundreds of years. So I think for you to be like, yeah, I'm going to work in restaurants, I'm going to read books, I'm going to do my own self-study and just immerse myself in like an intensive language program, essentially just like in wine, I think is like, it's rebelling against the foundation, like the patriarchal nature of the wine industry.
Yep.
And maybe that's me extrapolating like what
I
want to hear out of
it.
But it's like cool girls take wine.
Yeah.
Girls can go and teach themselves and do it however they want.
Exactly. And I think that it has been a fun lesson, and just like, I think that there have definitely been times where I'm like, what am I even doing with this? But then to see that there are other women who I've met in LA, throughout the US, who kind of took a similar approach, makes me really excited. Because again, it's like those levels and those the CMS and the WSET are like absolutely top notch. Like they deserve their distinctions. But I also think that, you know, not everyone learns the same way, and not everyone needs the top level, like level four master, you know, not everyone needs that. And so then I think that if you can kind of pull where it serves you, then you can make wine feel sexier and more of like, again, art than this just clinical, it's like sucking the life out of it. I was like, that's not why I like wine. Granted, I do. I know that there's like Sauvignon Blanc should have these and these characteristics, but like, how fun when winemakers can make a Sauvignon Blanc that like doesn't. You know? And the fruit gets to be expressed in a different way.
That's so cool. Can you tell me, like, what's a day like as a wine agent?
As a wine agent. So technically, it's called a sales rep. And I work for a portfolio, a distributor that is based, we are just distributing wines in California. And our portfolio, all the winemakers have a very similar ethos. So they're all organic. They are using native yeast when they're fermenting. They are just taking environmental precautions so that even if they're not certified organic, their vineyards are, you know, regenerative, sustainable. They're maybe, you know, practicing organic, but haven't paid for the certification. And so I will then, I joke with my friends, I peddle wine. So I like will have my little like rolly bag of wine because, again, I know some of the men, like they like shoulder strap. I'm like, I don't want to ruin my shoulders. Okay. Like,
no,
I will use my rolly bag.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I will use my rolly bag and I will go out with, I'll plan my day where I have like earlier in the week set appointments. So say I'm like tasting at John and Vinny's, I'm tasting at Anna Jack Thai, I'm tasting at La Dolce Vita,
for anyone who's not native to or living in LA, Nat's just like listing off some of like the best, coolest restaurants here that she just gets to spend her day at.
We're talking like infatuation scores above 8.6.
No shit. Like, yes.
I mean, I did that for a reason, obviously, but yeah, I mean, sometimes it's not those sexy spots, but yeah, I mean, sometimes it is like the local, like, wine shop around the corner, you know.
We love them too.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I call it my corner bodega.
Yes,
there we go.
Exactly. So I'm like, then I end my day at Almore Liquor, which is also a great, you know, location too. But I will plan my day and then I will plan out the like 9-ish bottles of wine that I'm going to bring.
Okay.
Sometimes people and buyers will be like, I'm looking for a new sparkling. I'm looking for a new red wine, light chillable red that I'm going to put by the glass for the summer. And so then I get to sort of like plan out what wines for my portfolio I am going to bring and put in my bag. And then I will go out and I like, you know, print my sheets and then I, you know, roll up and find parking. And then it's like, you know, bop, 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 taste the wines and then figure out what they like, what they don't like. And then I rinse and repeat. Like,
so fun.
And it's also
so cool.
Similar to what you did at our party where she shows up. She has like several different wines. She's got printed sheets for like which wine is representative of which cycle and why. Sets up this like beautiful bar area with like candles and this like the wine sitting in this giant silver tub. It looks so chic. And then she's like, okay. Now that the party's started, everyone has their wine. I have to go because I have a date to see Wuthering Heights on an opening night with my girlfriends. And
iconic.
I said, if that is not female energy at its finest,
amen.
Then I don't know what is. By the way, did we talk? What did you think of the movie?
Oh, we didn't. I loved, like, visually, I was just, like, drooling the entire time. And I am one of those people who's like, Jacob Elordi is just...
How lucky are we to be alive at the same time as Jacob?
You know what? And cheers to that, ladies.
How lucky are we to be alive?
I won't stand for Jacob Elordi slander. I won't. I also acknowledge, though, that part of the reason I think that part of the reason that we think he's so fucking hot is because he's like 6'5".
Oh.
He's just massive. Like, if someone 100%. Who is 5'8", and this is my heightism as a tall woman as well, someone who is 5'8", rolled in wearing like a Bottega bag filled with books written by Sally Rooney, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. But when he does it, I'm like, king.
Yeah,
no,
it's true. There's something about like men above 6'5". Where it's just they automatically get like 3 points.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I hate to say it, but it just is true.
And the thing is, like watching a slow-mo video of him roll up to Cannes in a tux, I'm like, what am I to do?
No.
What am I to do?
Yes.
Yeah. He's a fine gentleman.
He is.
You know? And so I did love the movie. Like also just Emeril, like you can see her touch on everything. And I think that is beautiful. I actually never read the book, which is like quite surprising in my like world. So I did hear I do understand why people like didn't love the casting, but I also was like, you know what? It's her interpretation.
Yes.
Of it. And like Margot, beautiful. Like it was just, but also like, yeah, I'm like that's a toxic situation.
Well, so here's what I'll say.
Yep.
As someone who, yes, so toxic, but as someone who didn't read the book either, and who was just going purely off the marketing campaign, which by the way, I thought was top notch. Whoever cut that trailer, please call me. I love you. I want to be you.
Yep.
But like cut to the Charlie XCX song.
Oh my gosh.
Which was like custom for the film. I was dying. Yep. But I thought it was a love story like fucking Titanic. And then as I'm sitting there watching it, I'm like halfway through and I'm looking around at my girlfriends who I'm there with being like, Remy being one of them. I was like, are we supposed to like these characters and like them together? Because I hate both of them and I hate them together.
Yep.
So by the end, I was like, I'm not rooting for either one of you. So I just walked out confused. And I found out afterwards that the book is not a love story.
Yeah, it's
in no way. I had no idea. So I'm an illiterate swine, you know?
Well, I'm also laughing because I haven't seen the movie and I was being like, don't spoil it. But like, you're not allowed. You can spoil a book that's been out for
like hundreds of years.
Like literally like IP yes. anyone can use anymore.
I stopped myself from being like, and then someone dies in the end. Because I saw Lauren's face being like, I haven't read this.
That's on me if it's spoiled. Yeah. Let's be honest.
But like, this set's brilliant. The shots across the moors, just perfect. And yeah, Charlie's music to it. It was also just like sexy and just such a...
It feels a little bit like an acid trip. Like the costume design, the set design. Mm-hmm. Like at a certain point, like Margot Robbie's wearing like rose-colored, like teeny tiny John Lennon sunglasses, and her face is covered in glitter stars for a party that they're throwing at her house.
And like, she also has like a gold tooth at one point.
I love that gold tooth. Yeah. People hate on that gold tooth too, and I'm like, no, give me more of that. he can do no wrong in my eyes.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. But it was a sexy time.
It was. Okay, so I digress. Sorry. Yeah. I love it.
I love it.
Should we jump into the theme of the day?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Talking about wine in relation to your cycle. So Nat had a lot of fun coming up with different wines that it ties to each phase for your menstrual cycle, like feeling wise, what to drink and when. And obviously this is not prescriptive, but I think it is just like a fun take on an episode that we haven't done before, which is like, how can you take cycle syncing into a really just playful element and routine in your life? Lauren and I talk all the time about how we like to map basically everything to our cycles. Mm-hmm. We talked about work on our last episode. We're talking about wine this week. So like, take a look into how you can play this into every aspect of your life, whether it's scientific, whether it's utilitarian, or whether it's just for fun. And this is one of those reasons. And I also think alcohol affects you differently in different phases.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that, what you might crave in different phases and how you might feel before, during, and after if you're consuming. Things to pay attention to. We'll never tell you not to do something, but it's good to have all the information at your disposal.
Yeah. So should we dive in?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Should we talk about your cycle as a wine list?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. So we're starting with the queen of the crop, which is the menstrual phase. Lauren, you're deep in it.
Deep in it. Just starting. Mm-hmm. Hello. Yeah. Hello, menstrual phase. So this is when the cycle first starts. So day one is day one of your menstrual phase. Mm-hmm. This is when we start bleeding.
Yes.
So our body's going through a lot. A lot of times we're really tired. We're feeling really introspective. This is like the moment that's so good to journal. The moment where it's so good to like figure out goals, intentions, how we want to approach like the next chapter. And so it's a good time to just like be reflective.
Yes. It's also, and if you've listened to episodes prior to, it's what Lauren and I kind of like to equate when we're looking at seasonality with the cycle. It's winter. So you're in hibernation, you're resting, you're slow and low. I had a friend the other day who texted me and she was like, oh, I just feel like so fucking tired. I can't go work out. And I'm like, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're supposed to be resting and, like, take this as an excuse to, like, you got no leaves on your branches, so just, like, go to sleep for a little while.
Yeah.
And when you hit the follicular phase, like Nat right now, you'll come out popping. It's sunny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so all that taken into consideration, what are we thinking wine-wise for our menstrual phase?
So with menstrual, I feel like you are wanting to lean into... So I love that, like, winter analogy, because with menstrual, I've also heard, too, it's, like, you do want to, like, keep your insides warm. You're not trying to like gravitate. Like, even though I like always love, I'm like, I want ice cream during this. I'm like, okay, wait, let's like maybe try to have soup.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Let's maybe not try to do that. So I, with wines, I think like leaning into, again, wine is a language that you get to like learn with yourself and learn with what you like to drink. So, a good example of something that feels comforting to me, and I think kind of universally feels comforting, is like a glass of Pinot Noir. It has like a warming sensation, but it's not like too heavy. Like you're not going to be like bogged down. So that like if you're taking a bath and you like want a little glass of red wine when you're having it's like a nice comforting. It's a familiar flavor that's not going to sort of like throw you out of whack. And so with a Pinot, which some of the best regions for Pinot are obviously, you're going to go to Burgundy in France, but I also think that there's a lot of good Pinots from Oregon.
Willamette Valley.
And I also shout out to the Central Coast of California. I think there's some really sexy Pinots that are coming out from there, specifically some like higher elevation ones in the Santa Cruz Mountains, but also by the coast.
We need to take a trip.
So like,
I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Road trip.
Here's what we should discuss for a future episode is doing a little in-phase retreat for women that incorporates a little bit of a wine tour.
Yes.
Perhaps a wine and yogurt retreat. Please mark your calendars. We'll send
see you in September.
Yeah. So I think something like a Pinot feels right, where it's like you're comforted, but it's not too heavy. It's warming. But again, it's not like you're not being like bogged down by it, which is also why I think pouring that like a lighter bodied Cab Franc, like that can work. You could also do, if you have like a lovely like Grenache or some lighter like Italian varietals, that could also work as well. But I think like a light to medium bodied red is really sort of like the kind of comfort
this.
Plug.
Ugh. What's an example of a lighter bodied Italian varietal?
This is like, I hate to be the girl in wine who's like, okay, look for a Grignolino.
But everyone is Googling.
Yeah. It comes from Piedmont, which is also known for Nebbiolo.
I was going to ask if it was a Nebbiolo.
Yeah, so I feel like you could do like a more Nebbiolo or like Sangiovese.
One buzzword here.
Yes. Uh-huh. Amazing. But Grignolino kind of also is like Nebbiolo's like little cousin.
Okay.
I would say. So it's sort of like it's not as intense, but you still kind of get like earthy vibes. You get a little tannic structure. But again, it's not going to be like too earthy. It's going to have like nice bright red fruit. So that is like a niche varietal to search.
I love this. So cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So I love that. Mm-hmm. And then on the scientific note, something to keep in mind too, hormonally, this is when estrogen and progesterone are at their lowest. So that means that energy can dip and you might have an alcohol tolerance that feels a little bit lower during this time.
Cool.
Body is under physical stress and therefore the ability to metabolize alcohol might be a little bit lower. So just keep in mind, if you're having the Pinot in a bath, maybe just a glass or two, not the whole bottle,
right.
But to each their own.
Yep. Each their own. And then I also do think that with light to medium bodied reds, you can typically also like flip over the back, see if the alcohol is under 12.5%. And then you like might be like in, you know, so you might find a Syrah, like if you're like, oh, my comfort, like I love a Syrah, like maybe find a cool climate Syrah, which means like the grapes aren't going to get as like juicy and, you know, alcohol like driven. You can just find like a lower ABV is what alcohol by volume, which is usually on the back or the front of the label.
Oh, that's so smart. I just love that.
That's I'm so obsessed fun. With this. I'm like about to break the wine glass in my hand. Smart. I'm just like, God.
Well, I love that too, because like we were talking about like what's happening in your body, and typically you might have to be more hydrated during this phase too, because your body is working a lot, so you can get dehydrated. And then also we've talked about your body can experience inflammation, because usually when you're shedding blood, your body is going through just a phase that can lead to more inflammation in general. So the idea of trying to find a wine with a lower ABV, that's such a simple and wonderful tip.
Look at that. This episode is utilitarian as well, everybody.
Yes.
Incredible. Lower ABV,
Okay, so moving on to follicular. Everyone's springtime. So Nat currently buzzing. She's coming out. It's sunny. This is when we start to feel alive again. It is the follicular phase usually lands between day, like, starts day 7 or 8 and lasts 4, 5 to 7 days before we're ovulating. And it's springtime. It's when you're starting to regain energy. It's when you're starting to feel like a person again, where you might have more mental acuity, more physical strength, less fatigued. You're really just like coming out of that like kind of period cozy haze and ready to like brighten up again.
Yeah, exactly. You're like feeling more social, feeling a bit more curious.
Yes.
I feel like it's also when like the main character energy starts to start to arrive. Like you just got a new apartment today.
I did.
It's like it feels perfect for a follicular.
You did?
Yep. I did. I signed. Well, I put the deposit down. Yep.
That's big news.
You're going to hear another cheers, guys.
Yes.
You're going to hear another cheers. Wait, that's incredible. Where?
In Los Feliz.
Again, we always have to caveat, because we have got a lot of girlfriends and friends who are listening in LA, but then we've got friends in New York and Wisconsin and Minneapolis who are listening. Los Feliz is one of the coolest neighborhoods in LA.
It's such a vibe.
If I could afford a house in Los Feliz, I would get it immediately. It's where Little Dom's is, which is what we were talking earlier.
Like Griffith Park is.
All-time, which I feel like is like noted. It's like that is listed in like Nobody Wants This and in that Anne Hathaway.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Nicholas Lewis says, should we go to All Time on Hillhurst? Yes.
And here is like the most LA thing is we're talking about this suit. Last time I was at All Time, who was I seated next to? Olivia Rodrigo.
See, classic.
Yep. A classic experience.
Oh, my gosh.
Someone every time you go there.
And then down the street, you have the Dresden, one of the oldest like dive e-bars, but like luxe dive bar, kind of. It's
live
dark.
Jazz.
It's a little bit gritty. There's always jazz playing. Yeah. Great martinis. Hello.
Yeah. So I'm very excited to become an East Side girl. Oh. Shout out to Muna.
I was just going to say shout out to Muna. Did you go to their show when they were in town, by the way?
I did.
What night? First or second?
I did first.
I was there too. We did a party bus. So my friend Dan is dating, who is also my friend Louie. And Louie is Josette's brother.
Oh, my God.
So I once got to get dinner with Josette, who is in Muna. Muna is my favorite band of all time and one of the greatest bands of all time.
Yes,
in my professional and just objective opinion. So if no one has listened to it, Dancing on the Wall, go.
It's fabulous. Yeah, I will do my little like plug for where I went to high school, but Katie Gavin, who's the lead singer, she and I went to high school and middle school together, and she's just a fucking star. Like, I am so, just to even have been in her orbit, like, she's killing it, and I'm so happy. Like, them taking their time to release this new album, I just think is, like, so sexy and like everything that they stand for. So yeah, big Muna fan.
Yeah, they're incredible. They also, like, in this new album, it's very political in the best way. They have an entire song about like supporting Palestine and things like that. So they've got a great audience, and they have a whole song called East Side Girl, right? And it's all about East Side girls living on the East Side of
LA. No way.
Yeah. You are at your core, Lauren. Don't worry. Lauren, you recently moved to Brentwood.
You are.
Not East Side.
So, yes, Los Feliz falls squarely in that way. Where were you before today? Or where?
I'm currently close to Runyon. So I'm in West Hollywood.
Oh, that's
which is a great neighborhood to be in.
That
as
was
well.
Your move.
That's where I was too. Before I did West Hollywood. I was near Runyon too. I did West Hollywood to Highland Park. So also an East Side girl now.
Here we are. So Follicler bringing in
bringing in the good new chapter. It feels like, you know, that spring. LA is funny where like seasons don't really, they exist, but they're not like a Chicago season change a New York season change. And so I feel like Follicular, it's like, okay, that first good day when you can like go drink on the patio.
Yes.
Like your favorite bar is like finally putting tables outside.
Yes.
Like, I remember when I was little, it was like, I can wear flip-flops.
Like, it's TikTok weather. It's like, finally, no jacket.
Yes. Well, and all of us being from, like, Lauren grew up on the Boston area. You grew up in Chicago. I grew up in Wisconsin. So we're all privy to these seasons where it's like, for me, it was, I don't know if it's the same for you guys, when it was above, like, 47, everyone was in shorts.
Yep.
When it's sunny and 48 degrees, you see people out in tank tops and it's like, let's live, baby. Yeah. In LA, if it's less than 68, people are in parkas.
Yes. Like, scarves. Literally. Yes. Scarves,
now,
beanies.
Now me included, when it's so shameful.
Yeah. It happens like, so quick.
My family makes so much fun of me.
Yeah.
Yes.
It happened like 6 months. All of a sudden, I was like wearing a scarf when it was 72. Yes. And I'm like, sorry, I just simply can't stand it. It's just too cold.
I turn the heat on when it's 65. My mom wants to disown me.
This is what it is.
Yeah.
So it's so real.
My thing was, I remember wearing, do you guys remember those floaty flip-flops that were like they were like the spongy, like very foamy. And
yes.
They were called floaties.
Yep.
And they ripped really easily.
Like, mine were yellow.
That is what I remember as like, oh my God, it's summer. I get to wear my floaties.
Get to bust
again.
Out the floaties.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So real.
But relating to wine, it definitely feels like you get to have that like crisp, delicious, like light-bodied white, whether that's a Sauvignon Blanc, whether you are leaning into like another like Italian varietal, whether you are leaning into like maybe even going like easy skin contact wine. So for those who haven't had skin contact, it's an it's also called an orange wine, where it's a white wine that's made like a red wine. So the skins for white wine are always removed like very quickly after the fermentation starts. And with this, the skins stay in contact with the juice as they're fermenting. And so the skins give off color. And that's what makes it orange or skin contact.
I never knew that. I've always wondered what skin contact actually meant.
Yeah,
I just knew it was orange.
It's the grape,
I never knew that.
The grape skins being in contact with the juice. They're playing. So they're
cool.
Having fun.
It's so many people think that orange wine is made from oranges too. I mean, like, which I understand. If you don't know wine, like, sure, that's what the name tells you. But I've heard that so much from people too, where it's like, that's oranges, right? I was like, not exactly. Yeah. No, a little different. Yeah. A little different.
And it is kind of deceiving because some orange wines, like, do have like an orange marmalade-y kind of taste. So you're like, were there oranges like put in the, but no, they're not. But I would say something in that like crisp white department or a skin contact is kind of like your best spring friend.
I love this. I love this.
So fun.
And then on a scientific level, obviously we're tying it back to be a little, we're getting back into the body. This is where estrogen is rising for the first time in the month. So you've got better mood, improved stress resilience, more insulin sensitivity, better stress resilience, better insulin sensitivity, and then more stable energy. So converse to the menstrual phase, a lot of women feel like they can metabolize alcohol a little bit better here. In the same way that when you enter in your follicular phase, you can metabolize stress a little bit better. You can metabolize social anxiety a little bit better.
Yeah.
Like your stress like restores are like more highly equipped to handle life. And so is your body. You're less fatigued. You're coming out. You're just like waking up.
Yeah.
And so you can take what the world's throwing at you, which might include like a little bit of an overindulgence.
Well, it's so true. It's like your body was working so hard during your menstrual phase. It was like working overtime.
Yes.
And now it's not having to focus on that. So like you can metabolize your alcohol easier. Totally. You can probably bounce back from a hangover easier. It's like all of those things.
Yeah.
Your body now has more energy to focus outward.
Here's what I'll say too. Is my favorite part about the follicular phase is when, or at least for me, this is like when I wake up and I start being like, I should text that person back that I've been ignoring for 2 weeks.
Yep,
I should make plans. I should like plan that dinner with my friend who I've been like putting off for a while. So like you're waking up to social plans and becoming a little bit more active socially right now. It's a great time to plan your happy hours to land at this time.
Mm.
If you're going out for drinks, if you want to test out that new patio, take a look at your calendar and like maybe pinpoint your week of follicular and be like, that's a great time for me to go to Bar Bandini or to go to Cavell or whatever it is.
Yeah, very smart. So smart.
You know?
Love that.
Okay.
Love that.
Now, ovulation. This is where I'm at. This is sexy summer, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
As a reminder, the sun is out. You are ready to party. This is where women typically look and feel their best. It is bizarre how you just feel like you are kind of that girl when you're ovulating.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's on purpose. You're putting out these hormonal triggers and signals in the world that you are either ready to make a baby or your body is ready to kind of ignore that and then move on to the next phase, which is luteal.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm ovulating right now. I'm not trying to make a baby, so Harry will need to stay away from me. however, I am feeling a little bit more magnetic, a little bit more flirtatious. You've got kind of like a radiant energy here.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean for wine, Nat?
I mean, obviously it means sparkling. So it is just you are bubbly, you are glowy. And the fun thing about sparkling is it can have like a myriad, depending on what your actual taste buds are. You can go for something like a proper champagne, which champagne is a region in France. So only champagne can come from the Champagne region. There's a few grapes that are distinguished, Chardonnay, Pinot Meunier, and Pinot Noir that can all kind of be blended in to the wine, but there's also other different sparkling wines. So if you're like more like, I don't really love like a white wine, have a Lambrusco, which is like a sparkling red from Italy.
I love a Lambrusco so much. And it's one of those wines that I feel like not every restaurant has on the menu, but when I see it, I'm like, I forgot about this one. Let me get me a little bit of that.
Yeah, and a Lambrusco can run on the dry, or it can be like a sweeter one too. So again, figure out what your taste buds like. And there's, I love a dry Lambrusco with a piece of pizza. It's sort of like your grown up like Coke and pizza.
Love.
You know, like you're like having Dr. Pepper and, you know, from the childhood.
Yeah.
You're like,
hell
it's grown up. It's grown up and it's fun.
I haven't really had dinner yet. And now I'm just like,
I was going to say, that might be what I
know,
do
I'm
after
like,
this.
Like, entirely.
Right, exactly.
Wait, and I'm ovulating. So this is perfect.
There you go. Magic
I'm not having sex today, but I might be having Lambrusco and pizza.
And it might be just as good. I don't know.
Right. And then other different bubblies. I mean, you can also do a sparkling rosé and then the other different kinds just to like run it down. Another wine from France that is not champagne, but is done in the traditional like champagne method where the bubbles are actually made in the bottle. That's called a Cremant. Mm. And a Loire Valley has really great ones. South of France, a sparkling rosé Cremant is also really delicious. In the U.S., there's also like great American bubbles that are being produced. There's Cava, which comes from Spain. Prosecco, which comes from Italy. And those bubbles are inoculated. So just like soda, it starts as like a flat wine and then they put the carbonation into the Prosecco versus like a Cava, a Cremant, and a Champagne. The secondary like bubbly fermentation happens in the bottle because they add more sugar and yeast and then the whole chemical process happens there.
This is the best night of my life. Yeah. I'm learning so much.
Oh my God, you guys are so sweet. Thank you. And there's other different like sparkling wines like run the gamut. There's also a thing called a Petit Naturel, which you sometimes see on the wine menu is like a pet nat.
Yep.
Mm. And that is like the ancient old way of making a sparkling wine where the fermentation kind of when they discovered.
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
Good luck. Yes. When sparkling wine was first discovered, it was like by accident that it was happening. They're like, oh, the wine's starting to referment. Like and now because it's refermenting, it's giving off this gas, which is being trapped in the bottle. And so that's why like a pet nat, there's only one fermentation, but it goes longer and then the bubbles happen organically. So there's usually like a less fizzy bubble.
Okay.
So it's like thinking almost like, you know, like I feel like if you can if you can think about like sparkling waters that you like, there's ones that are like really intense. Like a Topo Chico is like, oh, it hits you.
It's
You know, but like then there's like maybe like a LaCroix that you opened like 5 hours ago.
I was just going to say, you like let it sit for a minute.
I was going to say, I drank one on my way home from work today that had been sitting at my desk for like 3 hours. And I was like, this isn't that great. But you know what? It's a very soft palate.
Bubble.
And so that could maybe be like you're winding down ovulation and like you still want a little bubble, but like it's a softer bubble. So you go for a pet nat.
I love this.
Yeah.
So we talked last week about how ways in which women can plan out their work schedules based on their phases, right? So it's if you're take a high level look at your calendar, take a look at like what the next month looks for you in terms of your cycle or looks like for you in terms of your cycle. And I like color code my calendar. So it's like, I am like red during luteal and blue during follicular. Now I'm going to be like marking like it's time for bubbles in the blue.
You should mark
in
it by
yellow
lines.
Yes. And I'm going to add out like a wine like subtext to my color coded calendar. So this is one more thing to think about.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. So good.
Okay. So scientific tie-in in terms of ovulation and sparkling and just wine consumption. Around ovulation, estrogen peaks, testosterone also rises slightly, and many women feel more confident and social. But in the way that we've also talked about how people can experience pain during ovulation and fatigue during ovulation, almost like a mini period because your body is preparing, women can actually become more sensitive to alcohol around ovulation because higher estrogen can impact estrogen metabolism. So just something to be aware of in the same way that you might get like tiny cramps around ovulation or just like notice the fact that your body isn't performing at its like most optimal level, you might experience similar responses to alcohol that you might in your menstrual phase, which is like a little bit tougher. So again, it might be time to look for a lower ABV.
Yes, which definitely pet nats. Definitely there are like lower ABV sparklings on the market. And there's also, well, we can talk about this now or later, but like there are also plenty of NA options in case you are like, oh, right now I can't.
Yep.
Depending on like where you maybe with work and like, but you're like, I want to feel this zest. There are plenty of things to like get that bubble, whether it's like a de-alcoholized sparkling wine or it's like, you know, something like a Ghia.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's a great reminder.
Mm-hmm. One thing to note, too, is that when your body doesn't metabolize it as fast, it means that like impairment can happen faster, too. So like you may feel sexier around this time, which is great, which makes you want to like swirl your glass, take a look at the legs, sip a few. But like it's when like two could potentially feel like four.
I was just going
to
say.
just something to keep in mind.
So the last time I had wine was during my ovulation phase and I had like half a glass and I was like feeling excited. And now it makes sense.
Yes. Yep.
There we go.
You're like, I'm going to write a thesis. I'm going to buy new lingerie. Then you're like, and then I'm going to go to sleep.
Exactly. Yeah. Pretty quickly.
Yes, like that. Yes.
Yep. Yep. So true. Okay. And then let's talk about our luteal phase.
Yes.
Okay. Luteal. Luteal is when we're getting ready for winter. We're preparing for hibernation. We're starting to feel a little bit more mellow, starting to feel a little bit more cozy. Yep. The introspection begins, but it's also like, for me, I'm feeling more moody. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like a different person literally every hour during this phase. Mm-hmm. And it's really just like trying to prepare for the moment when we know our body is going to be doing more work.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can we just start getting into that mindset to slow down, to chill out, so that when we hit menstruation, we're prepared for it.
Totally. And with this, it's funny. My roommate and I, we also are like, oh, she today before I left, she was like, and it's my day. I'm going to buy steak.
Like, yes.
Amen.
And I was like, yep. She was like, and then I looked and I was like, yep, that's the time each month that I want steak.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's brilliant, though. Yeah. Also, amping up her iron reserves.
Exactly. Yeah.
Getting ready.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think with this, you're wanting to, like, fall again, it can feel cozy and sexy and you're like wanting to prepare. So I think you can, with wine selection, you can go for a more medium to full body in both sides of the coin. So you can go for a more like red blend or even get into like those fuller body Syrahs or Cabernet Sauvignons. And then on the white side, you can kind of go for those fuller body whites. Like you could do a Chardonnay, a Vermentino, like just something that feels a little more like lush and plush. Mm. Just depending again, what you want as far as like where your taste buds lie. I also think because I would be remiss to not include rosé, which I know that like rosés are sort of, I also think are a slight unicorn wine where they did obviously have a moment in like the rosé all day. But I think rosés can, I want rosés to be back. And I'm just putting it out there that I think that they should be.
Come back, rosé.
But this is
your time.
This is the campaign to bring back rosé.
But a rosé that has a bit more skin contact. So it's like a deeper rosé that can feel a little bit more like, am I drinking a light red? But you know,
my favorite kinds of rosés.
Because
I typically actually don't like rosés for some reason, which feels antithetical to my personality because I feel like I am a rosé person, you know?
Yeah. But like a more like kind of textured and like less, oh, I'm drinking like water versus I get to have like a textured, more experienced, like nuanced feel with my rosé. I think that also can kind of like fit into this category. So like looking at a red blend or you're again, like looking at something like a Cab Sauv, there's red blends can come from like literally any region. There's like a lot, but I love, I love the Central Coast of California. So there's a lot that come from there. There's a lot that come from Italy, South of France, from Spain. You can either even go to South America and find some fun ones there. Australia.
Next trip.
You know,
next
like trip. Where are you really like red blends are a fun thing too, because I think winemakers who kind of want to go outside of the like traditional lines can also look to make like red blends, and they might instead have like a delineation where it might not be like the wine region, but it might just be like wine of Australia or like wine of France. And it's because they are wanting to like just like use their home grapes in the way that they see best.
Okay. Cool.
So like again, I think that a blend, I think maybe people, this is my pitch also to like lean out and trust a blend, like, and just like give it a shot, because I think a lot of times it's like winemakers who want to be intentional are like, oh yeah, we're doing this not because it's like, oh, this is what we have left, we're just tossing it in. No, like the people who are growing things right, I think will blend with intention.
Oh, that's interesting, because I usually actually avoid a blend for that reason, you know?
I do think that there are like shitty blends, for lack of a better word, or like blends that are like very unenergized and like not so much like thoughtful. But I do think that if you are at a wine shop or like at a restaurant where you're like, okay, the wine list is something that I trust, or like the wine buyer or whatever, I think that you can trust that a blend is on that menu because the winemaker like knows what they were doing and wanted to grow and do things in a certain way. Like you can, I would definitely say like experiment, you know, like try it. And okay, if you don't like it, then next time, you know, stick with your tried and true. But I think that is the one thing with wine is like, you do have to try things in order to kind of refine and understand your palate more.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? This is so random, but you just mentioned Australian wine.
Yes.
When I was in Australia, I was obsessed with the wine there, and I don't know why. Can you tell me more about wine from Australia? Like, what is specific to that region?
Yeah, this is also going to be, like, I'm like, okay, my slight weak spot. But in Australia, like, it's also its own continent, and they also have such a specific climate. I think with Australia, I'm actually not like the biggest, I don't have the biggest knowledge from there, but I do think with Australia and New Zealand, they like really care about the environmental factors about their wines. Like I know for, it's not Australia, but in New Zealand, they are all very cautious and conscious about the growing, how the wines are grown and everything like that. And they also, a lot of them are sustainable and like accessible because they're using screw tops. Like if you think about it, like screw caps are actually like a very, for people who like can't, like you know, think of like your grandma or someone who like doesn't have like full mobility with their hands, a screw top is actually like a very sort of like even playing field for like opening a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And New Zealand, I know, has like made that sort of initiative that they're like, oh yeah, like we want wine to be accessible. So like put on a screw cap.
So cool.
Obviously corks like do, because they do allow oxygen to like a little bit to come in, like that is the winemaker's prerogative of like, okay, I want this wine to age. So like if you put a screw cap on it, that's the wine. Like there's not going to be anything that changes. It's like that is sealed, delivered, whatever. But with Australia, I think that also like they're able to grow a myriad of things. They also have different vegetation. The climate is like so vastly different than it is in Europe than it is in the U.S. And so I think that, like, again, the grapes are just in a different environment that can, you know, and then you're like, oh, great, I like wines from Australia. And so, like, okay, I'm going to look for a similar climate, similar things. So, like, maybe you would like wines from South America more than like, maybe you've experienced, because it's like you like wines like below the equator.
Yeah. Interesting.
Also, you're very environmentally conscious, so maybe you just vibe with Australian wines on a spiritual level.
I was going to say, I just feel like connected to the wine over there.
In your soul.
Yeah, 100%.
You're like, this wine has the same moral fiber and values that I do, and therefore I really like it.
And I will save the planet by drinking this wine.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
You know?
It's a win-win for everybody.
It is. Absolutely.
So great.
Okay, Lauren, what is the scientific time for the luteal phase? Because it can be a little bit scrambly in that we're craving more wine here because we might need a little bit of extra dopamine. We're looking for those hits in the same way that we crave chocolate during this phase or potentially sweets. We might also crave something that's going to make us feel like a little bit safer, a little bit better when we're, you know, when I'm crying about thinking my coworkers are all talking shit about me, I'm going to come home and like crave a glass of wine to relax a little bit.
Yeah, no, totally. Right. It's like this is the time where it's PMS, the thing we always talk about. It's like this is when you actually feel it. It's like when your body starts to cramp. It's when you start to feel a bit more irritable. You start to feel a bit more sensitive. So it's just we're a lot more aware of our emotions, or I am at least too.
Okay.
Like I feel like I'm always like every hour feels different when I'm in this moment. And so it's also that feeling again of like you just sort of like you're just really sensitive to everything that's happening.
Yeah,
totally.
Which also means that you can be sensitive to alcohol, because alcohol and luteal, what it can do when your body is trying to rest and recover, it can worsen PMS symptoms for some women because it increases sleep disruption when we're looking to be, when we're looking to kind of comfort our bodies a little bit more. It also can worsen mood dips and anxiety the next day and increase bloating and water retention. So just be aware of the fact that, like, even though we might crave more wine in this moment for, like, a cerebral comfort, a bodily comfort might be a little bit disrupted if you're consuming too much.
Yeah.
And that's not to say don't drink wine during your luteal phase, because there's nothing I love more than coming home after like a long day and being like, you know what? I'm just going to have a glass of wine and sit on the couch and pet my dog. However, just be aware that if you're overindulging at this time, it might be a double-edged sword and hit you backwards the next day.
Yeah, it's a really good flag. It's like that reminder of the intention of resting is to prepare a body for menstrual.
Yeah.
And so if our body has to do any extra work like metabolizing alcohol, it's just energy that could be used towards resting and towards your menstrual phase. So it's a really good reminder of that, of just like, it's a great flag of how it could impact you. But again, like the reminder of find the low ABV, just be mindful and intentional. Like there's still ways to enjoy it. It's just, again, that awareness of what our body is going through so that we know what to expect when we take that glass of wine down.
Exactly. Yep. And again, that's like the entire ethos of this podcast is to just be aware.
Yeah.
Like know your body a little bit more, have a little bit more grace for yourself in these different phases, in these different cycles of one, your life, and two, your body and your hormonal cycle. But yeah, the awareness is everything.
Yeah. And it's so fun. Like this episode has been so fun for a million reasons. One, I'm just so happy you're here. So thank you for being here.
Yes. Thank you guys for having me.
If you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching on video version on Spotify, you'll see that Laura and I are just staring at Natalie.
We're cheesing.
She's talking and we're double handing our wine glasses like, yes.
Like
yes,
hands under chin, eyes wide.
It's like full teeth smiles.
But it's such a fun reminder of like, I think the reason why we both love cycle syncing is it allows us to get nerdy about it.
Yes.
It's like, it allows you to be like, what's going on in my body? And then how can I plan things differently? How can I optimize my life? How can I eat differently? How can I work out? Like, it's just the sense of like, because we are basically different people throughout these different phases, how do we change our lives with it? So what I love about this episode is like, it's wine. You can think differently about how you consume wine based on your cycle. And how cool is that? You can do it with literally anything.
Anything. And again, it's like wine is like the biggest takeaway is like for me, it's like, yes, listen to what your phase is, but also, like you were saying, it's like, flag it. If this is not the cycle to have wine, then skip it this cycle. You know, like if you need to have like a higher ABV wine, do it. Because like that's, you know, but know that lower ABV wines exist. Like just knowing that there are options out there to like help optimize what all women are going through is just knowledge is power. And, you know. The more you know, the more fun it is, you know? So fun.
Okay, Natalie, thank you so much for being here. This has been my favorite episode that we have done today.
Yes.
I'm obsessed.
So fun. And you guys are the best. I think that, like, me personally, I went off birth control in 2020 and just was, like, wanting to do that to be, like, again, in this phase of, like, oh, women's bodies change every 28 days. Like, we are not men.
Yes.
We are not little men.
Yes. You know, like, emphasis on little.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not little men. So I think that what you guys are doing is amazing, and I'm so happy that we got to talk all things wine and, you know. Here's to being women and just doing it right.
Yes.
You're going to hear one more cheers.
Yeah,
audience.
Truly.
You're going to hear one more cheers. Cheers to that.
Yeah. And thank you.
Yes.
Thank you again.
And thank you so much.
You actually, and again, I'm going to like remind, like you helped kick off this podcast. Like you were there like the first night where we were celebrating it. So just like you're part of the reason why this exists.
Yes.
Well, so thank you guys.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to be here and cheers.
And again, if this isn't a reminder that you can incorporate cycle syncing into every little corner of your life and optimize not only your body, but just like the fun that you can have with this, like please take this, share it with anyone who is interested in wine, share it with anyone who likes to go out and have like a cocktail or meet someone on a patio after work and connect a little bit.
Yeah. Now you have an excuse for every month you have to have bubbles.
Yes.
Like I don't make the rules. So it just is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yes. You know?
You're welcome, everybody. And on that note, you can find In Phase on all socials at In Phase Pod. Please like, subscribe, and comment, share this episode. It does a lot for us to kind of just like spread the good word about wine, about cycle syncing. I am at Robin Dibovic on socials. Lauren is at Lauren Cortizo. And Nat, please plug your socials so that people can find you. Where can they connect with you?
Yes, I have two. I have my personal Instagram, which is my AOL AIM screen name that I'm still running by, which is at Irish Freckle Girl. And then my other, which is more wine focused, is at Drink Natty Wines.
Incredible.
Oh my God.
Incredible.
What an incredible handle.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well,
I'm so inspired. Yeah. Like, subscribe, leave us a comment, give us a rating. We would love that. And we'll see you next time. So thanks for hanging.
Thanks for hanging.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast. You can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at In Phase Pod. Follow host Lauren Cortizo at Lauren Cortizo and Robin Dibovic at Robin Dibovic. Thank you to our producer and social media manager, Sydney Rojas. And be sure to follow, subscribe, and give us a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts.